We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown. This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello and welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host on the show, as always, is Sean Siegel, who you can follow on Twitter at FF_Contrarian. I actually a note on that. You were on with Pat Fitzmaurice, another show that I helped produce on the Fits on Fantasy podcast. And he mentioned about that you had your zero RB piece pinned at the top of your Twitter feed. I thought that was an interesting way to mention your Twitter handle. But I think it's probably pinned since, I think, maybe 2017, is it, Sean?
At least that early. Not really sure when the last time that was checked and updated. And like I mentioned on Pat's show, Pat does a great job. Make sure you check that out if you can. I really enjoy recording with him every year. But yeah, with the pods that we're doing now, that's the place to find me. So, you know, come here, listen to OT, listen to Stealing Bananas, send us listener questions. We have a great time interacting with the listeners on the various shows. And yeah, this is the place for.
So I think in the old days we used to say send a stamped addressed envelope to whichever address. But if you're trying to get in touch with Sean Siegel, just email rotovizradio@gmail.com and I'll find appropriate channels to pass it along to Sean. I was trying to figure out today if it was like something that coincided with the start of this podcast that Sean just decided, I can't stay on Twitter anymore to hear whatever feedback's going to be to me for this one. So he left and never went back. But on today's show, all joking aside, we are going to be talking about a number of interesting topics. And one of those is going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is getting some buzz as of recent times. Obviously had a little bit of a disappointment based on what we probably thought this time last year with the opportunity with the Chiefs. But are we seeing people underestimate what can be done this season? We're also going to do another piece by Sam Wallace. We had Sam on a couple of weeks ago. Love reading his work, and he is decoding some backfields around the NFL. And this is a backfield that we've been interested in all offseason. It is the Arizona Cardinals. We have obviously Chase Edmonds, James Conner. We're going to be diving into that. We'll just dive straight into that one, actually, and get into it. So, Sean, these are our two running backs that have been on very interesting draft kind of paths over the last, let's say, 4 to 5 months, back in February, pretty much around the same spot. And then, obviously, Chase Edmonds has been kind of projected to be the running back one with the Cardinals, and that's pushed him up to kind of 60th around in terms of overall ADP, whereas James Conner has kind of stayed pretty much around the same spot that he was. He had a dip and then he has risen back up a little bit. But for me this year, Conner fits in as basically, for me, a prime zero RB candidate, because I would not be surprised at all if we get a couple of weeks into the season he's getting the goal line carries in a high powered offense. You mentioned about how we can see AJ Dillon get those goal line carries for the Packers and have more offensive power with Aaron Rodgers there. I think James Conner fits in very similarly for the Arizona Cardinals, and that's going to lead to points scoring for him. And if we're looking at the kind of 10th round where he was going, he is starting to creep up a little bit, so that might make it a little bit more expensive. But what's your thoughts overall on Chase Edmonds, current ADP of running back 27. And then we have James Conner at running back 36. So not a huge gap between them, but I think I think there's a big opportunity here for James Conner.
Right. One of the things that we're looking at with Edmonds, and the thing that keeps jumping up for me, is that after he had the big carry game in Drake's absence last season, when Drake had to miss, they completely marginalized him again as a running back, right? So he's getting the pass catching numbers we can see here from the NFL Stat Explorer and Sam's great work that he finished sixth in targets, sixth in receiving yards. We know we like that element of the profile, but we also like it in a range where we're not having to overpay for it. You go and you look at his season last year, he had a couple of big games, week five, week seven, scored 20 plus points. But then from week nine to week 17, he didn't have a single RB1 finish and only three RB2 finishes, right? And this is during a time period where the offense was struggling. Drake is playing poorly. They're doing a lot of run into the line and fall down kinds of plays. Kyler Murray isn't as dynamic because he's injured. And for me, it sends a very negative sign that they didn't trust Edmonds more when the offense really needed his electricity, if you think he has that as part of his package, right? Now, recently he's moved from about pick 70 to pick 60, and we say, well, that's only 10 slots, but it's 10 slots in a range where it's a really pretty big deal in terms of now who he's starting to move up ahead of. And he got that move because the people following the team say that this battle between Edmonds and James Conner may be a battle in name only, right? That it's going to be Edmonds, Conner is the backup, and maybe a clear backup. But one of the reasons why we really like Conner is that, unlike Drake, who somewhat bizarrely the Raiders are trying to push as sort of a pass-catching back and even as a wide receiver, Conner is a guy who has both parts of this profile and could cut into Edmonds in a way that Drake at least didn't last season. Now you can say, well, you know, that was by design. That was by choice. The Cardinals could have used Drake as a receiver. They decided not to. But we look at Conner here, and it's easy to forget how dynamic he really was last season, even within the context of how bad the Steelers were. I mean, in the first seven games of the season, he scored almost 16 points per game, which are very good running back numbers, right? And so you look at this, you look at how the Cardinals have been very willing to go to the guy who was hot. You know, you take someone like David Johnson, who had some of those injury issues. He comes back, he plays poorly, and despite the big contract and what he had done for the team in the past, they very quickly moved to Drake, who had the hot hand at that point. So I think the Cardinals are going to be very willing to play the better player, and I don't necessarily know who that is. Conner has the big injury red flags. Edmonds has the talent draft slot, you know, 2020 usage red flags. And so when you put those two together, it really does matter a ton where they're going, right? And when we're looking at running backs all throughout the draft, we're trying to get guys who are a good value at the price. And that's really the crux of Sam's entire article here, where he looks at it and he says, you know, Edmonds is going in a range where you can get T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson, Brandon Ayuk. Conner is going in a range where, yeah, there are some wide receivers you might still draft there. You know, Will Fuller is there, Michael Gallup is there, but that's a huge difference in terms of what you're giving up at wide receiver. I've gotten some emails, some questions about the zero RB must draft candidates show that Ben and I did for Ceiling Bananas, wanting us to talk about some of these guys like Edmonds. And this is really the reason that those guys are not in the mix, right? The value that you have to get up to get somebody who still has a lot of potential red flags and a lot of movement. One of the things that I mentioned in several of my articles recently, and in terms of discussing this with people, is that you take someone like Devin Singletary, who over the last two seasons has scored 45 more points than Chase Edmonds, and you look at the fact that you can get him six or seven rounds later, that's a big difference when you're talking about two guys who are in a committee, two guys who have sort of hybrid value, two guys who are in explosive offenses. And, you know, Singletary actually has a little bit better background, right? And I think the reason that we have that gap in ADP. It's very simple and straightforward, and it follows the logic, right? We think that Edmonds is going to be the starter. We think that Singletary is going to be at best in a committee and likely the backup. But one of the things about both of these committees is that there is more uncertainty than is really priced in. Zero RB works, and a wide receiver heavy followed by running backs late approach works, in part because these exploitable opportunities exist in all drafts in all seasons. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be right every time. That would be exactly the opposite of what we're saying. One of the things we're saying is that it's difficult to be right, and you want to take the price that gives you the best chance to have upside and not cost you other things on your team. That's one of the reasons why I really like Connor here. And I like some players on other teams as well that have a similar profile to Edmonds, but you don't have to pay as much for it.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And Sam points out that the Cardinals over the last couple of years have had a big jump up in their rush attempts, going from 19th in the league to 6th. So obviously, when we look at last year, Kenyon Drake had 239 attempts. Not very productive with it, still short of 1,000 yards, but he had 10 rushing touchdowns and just 194 PPR points. But if we look at that's, you know, over almost 145 of a difference between him and Chase Edmonds, who Chase Edmonds then had 26 less PPR points over the season with just one rushing touchdown. So Drake wasn't very efficient. Edmonds had some nice plays and kind of some flash plays, but it didn't have the consistency throughout the season. And like you mentioned, I don't think it's a real clear-cut situation that he just dominates this backfield and gets all those touches. And I do like Connor. I liked him in the past. I actually did think that he was too high of a price in his late time in Pittsburgh, but I think we're going to see here that there is a value, and I think that he could close that gap pretty quick. But I also think those numbers from last year show that, like, you know, if Chase Edmonds adds 100 carries, there's still going to be work there as well for James Conner. So I'm on board with James Conner. He's in that range where you mentioned AJ Dillon in the last show. I mentioned him there a moment ago. Those kind of guys are going in that range. The two of those guys, Tony Pollard, they're the kind of guys that I'm targeting. And it makes perfect sense when it's very simple when you say, like, T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson, or Brandon Ayuk versus Chase Edmonds, or James Conner versus Will Fuller versus Michael Gallup. So I think my decision is made there. But good work again by Sam. Really enjoying that series where he's decoding the backfields. We'll have another piece coming up after the break.
Hey, RotoViz Radio listener. This is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021. And you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire.
Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, Sean, another one of your recent pieces, mentioned it on the previous show, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire is somebody that you're looking into, just starting to discuss a little bit more. I know Davis Maddock was on the show with you for the draft with Ben over on Ceiling Bananas. Edwards-Helaire is somebody that he likes as well. So you're mentioning five reasons Clyde Edwards-Helaire is poised to be this year's 20% win rate running back. So just for anyone that's not sure, 20% win rate is quite good. Sean, what is some of the reasoning that you think CEH is ready to hit those big numbers?
Yeah, you mentioned that 20% is quite good. I mean, look at the last 4 years in the FFPC, only 9 backs have done that, right? And only 2 of them have come from the first round. So again, when we're trying to calibrate our expectations, think about how we want to put teams together. We want to know what's worked historically, right? And so during this time period that most fantasy participants think has been very running back heavy, one of the things that we've seen, 220% winners from round 1, 220% winners from round 2, the other 5 coming from pick 90 or later. And so when we're looking at what running backs have to do to get to that 20% win rate range, it makes a big deal, both the points and the price. So the two guys who have really jumped out from round 2, you have Todd Gurley in 2017. His 30% win rate that season was even better than Christian McCaffrey, who in 2019 had that 29% win rate on the massive, massive season. But the two backs who came out of round 2, McCaffrey was actually the other one, right? Just the season before that, 2018. So McCaffrey has had a big season from round 2, a big season from round 1. And again, reinforces the idea that if you aren't getting McCaffrey, then you want to be very careful about what you do at the running back position. Everybody else is so far below where he is. You may be making a mistake in terms of chasing running back points as opposed to actually setting yourself up to win. But you mentioned Stealing Bananas. One of the things that Ben and I have been talking about is, should we be looking at the round 2 guys for 2021 instead of these round 1 players? And that kind of gets me back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I have a very mixed relationship with due to the fact that he went before Jonathan Taylor. He's not as good as Jonathan Taylor, but at the same time, he scored 176 points last season, right? If you look at first rounders from this century, and obviously he just barely sneaks in. He's the last first rounder you could possibly get there at pick 32. But his points actually ranked number 20 out of the 50 rookie first rounders. And if we want to think of some of the backs who scored fewer points than he did and then went over 200 in year 2 and then went on to be fantasy MVPs, we've got guys like Sean Alexander, Steven Jackson, Deuce McAllister, Larry Johnson. You've got guys like D'Angelo Williams, CJ Spiller, Darren McFadden, Ryan Matthews, Jonathan Stewart. All of them either had one huge season or they went on to have consistent NFL careers. And so we're looking at him actually set up quite nicely. Then you pull him up in the RotoViz screener, you look in the similarity search, and his closest comp is LeSean McCoy. There are some reasons for this, right? McCoy was better. He was playing with Brian Westbrook, whereas Clyde Edwards-Helaire is playing basically with nobody. But I think it's still interesting that you have this comp, which really is the player everyone was chasing with CEH in terms of making him the rookie 101.
Yeah, and I think when we look at these guys, and especially when we look at the run in 2010, 2011 for LeSean McCoy in a minute, when we're doing some comparisons, I think if we get anything near that, we're going to be in a really special place with CEH. But in that time, as rookies, I think sometimes a player, when they come in and you're expecting them to just go in and to be the guy straight away and to hit the ground running, it's not always going to happen. Even if we look at Jonathan Taylor last year, for as much as we like Taylor, the start of the season, it wasn't really looking like it was going to work out quite how the season then progressed, right? We kind of thought the first half of the season was going to be like the second half of the season, but the whole season through. So when we look at Edwards-Helaire, the season started, he had those games. I can't remember if it was week 1 or week 2. I think he had like 6 goal line carries and it didn't work out for him. They tried similar then. And it just, once the kind of narrative started, it can be hard to flip that. But when we look at him versus McCoy in that rookie season, we had a situation where very similar in terms of PPR points, 178 to Edwards-Helaire, 160.5 to LeSean McCoy, as you mentioned, splitting that backfield. And then when we look then at the rush efficiency or rush expected points, that was more in Edwards-Helaire's favor, 108 to 85.4. The receiving expected points then very, very similar, just both around the 80 range. And overall, very, very similar numbers across the board. So I think, Sean, look, I think the offense is something that's going to, we're talking about the likes of James Conner getting a high-powered offense with the Cardinals. There really is no more high-powered offense in the NFL than the Kansas City Chiefs. So if we can get a step forward in year two from Edwards-Helaire in this offense, it's not very hard to write that script that he is the running back one at the end of the season. McCoy in that second season then took a massive jump forward. He ended up, and I don't know if we can expect this, but he was running back one 70% of the time, running back two 17% of the time. So that there gives him 87% as at least a running back two, which is quite a phenomenal run throughout basically those two seasons. I know the expectations might be getting high for you, Sean, with Edwards-Helaire. Are they as high as what LeSean McCoy did in that two-year stretch?
No, they wouldn't be. At the same time, I was much more enthusiastic about him after digging into the receiving splits a little bit more deeply, right? One of the things that I have been concerned about is that this passing offense with Patrick Mahomes is a vertical offense. He can hit Tyreek Hill deep. He can hit some of those peripheral receivers deep, even though we have some questions about their talent. Obviously, Travis Kelce dominates the intermediate routes like no one else in football. And so you don't need all of these dump-offs that Andy Reid's Eagles used in the early 2000s. When I went in and looked at this, I found that those Reid Philadelphia teams from 2000 to 2007, they averaged 226 receiving expected points to the running back. You go in and you look at Reed's Chiefs from 2014 to 2020, and they only averaged 154, right? So a huge difference in terms of the size of the receiving pie. However, that's not the time period that LeSean McCoy played in. It actually contracted quite a bit from the Westbrook era to the McCoy era. So then looked a little more closely at just the Reed Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, just those Reed Eagles with McCoy, and found that actually the Mahomes Chiefs have had a little bit more, 163 receiving expected points to the running back position, whereas McCoy's Eagles only 157. And so the volume is there to have a LeSean McCoy-like season. The reason we haven't been seeing that recently is because the Chiefs haven't been able to have, number one, an elite running back, and number two, keep him healthy or keep him out of trouble, right? So we look at the receiving share of expected points. 2015, you have Charcandrick West, 43%. Next season, Spencer Ware, 47%. Hunt, 55%. Hunt, 38%, in part because he doesn't play the whole season. Then you have Damian Williams, 34%. And last year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 48%, again, in part because he couldn't stay healthy. Contrast that with what McCoy did during that three-year stretch. You have 71%, 88%, 68%. Now you say, well, those are very high numbers. We wouldn't necessarily expect any individual running back to do that. Certainly, if Edwards-Helaire isn't the same talent as LeSean McCoy, you wouldn't necessarily expect him to do that. But we look at what happened with Westbrook. We look at what happened with McCoy. Andy Reid has always wanted to employ this running back star, this sort of three-down running back, but a three-down running back where the emphasis was actually on the passing game, as opposed to a three-down running back where, you know, you use him for those big downs and then you sort of grudgingly give him the receiving numbers. He's emphasized the pass. And the whole reason that they selected Edwards-Helaire in the first round with really five studs still on the board was because you're like, this guy can be our Westbrook and McCoy. This guy can be our person who takes all of those receiving touches and dominates with them. And so I think for Edwards-Helaire, if he stays healthy, he's going to have 75% of the receiving expected points. And that right there gets him into a profile where if the Chiefs do what they do, if he doesn't get stuffed at the goal line, which is going to be a little bit random, they've upgraded their offensive line. Suddenly, he has the profile necessary to make the leap Whereas so many of the running backs being drafted ahead of them, even though they're being drafted in the first two rounds, they're guys that we like the talent levels for. They don't have that same profile. They don't have the same upside.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And when we look through, I know we like guys like Chubb, you know, probably unless there's an injury, not going to get that workload. Like if we're looking at scenarios in that second round of guys who can really take that step forward and push themselves to be in that range with Alvin Kamara, with Dalvin Cook, I think he really fits into that. And it's going to be interesting now that we've talked him up. Hopefully we're past the second round of our listener league by the time that happens. Maybe we get a chance to snag him at the back end of the second, but he probably will be gone already. But he is somebody that I think it's very easy to see that jump taken forward. And you mentioned the perimeter pieces for the Chiefs. There is some there that I think we can, you know, we've talked about Mecole Hardman numerous times over the past couple of years on the show, but there is pieces there, but there's lots of question marks still surrounding those guys, and that might open up some more opportunities as well in that receiving game for CEH. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes, but I think Sean summarizing it up is, you know, there is question marks around him and what he did last year, but you know, there's one chance to get him this year, I guess, if you want to have somebody with that elite level upside to bring home the championship. So he's a very intriguing prospect for.
Let me put you on the spot here. CEH versus Aaron Jones. We believe fairly strongly that Jones is the bigger talent. He's got more explosiveness. He's demonstrated that he can do it at the NFL level. He has the elite touchdown upside. We've seen that happen in the past. He is a good receiver, and they've used him a little bit more with that. He has a team in the Green Bay Packers who could be as explosive as the Kansas City Chiefs, but he has A.J. Dillon, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire has basically nobody, right? Has Darrell Williams there. Who do you like between those two guys if you're on the board in the middle of round two and really feel like you need to have a running back?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to add that, but at the end, so I couldn't back out. If I have to go running back, I'm going CEH, and you hit on it. We've touched on it a few times over the last couple of shows. AJ Dillon is in a great spot for getting those kind of goal line carries, getting those opportunities, and to have him as a zero RB candidate. Love Aaron Jones. Packers paid him a lot of money, but when we look at, you know, Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire and what is available in the running back position at the moment with the Chiefs, I think he can be in that Christian McCaffrey role where he's just going to get, you know, 80% of the workload, whereas I don't think that's possible for Aaron Jones barring something drastic happening to AJ Dillon. So I think just on the volume that he's going to get, I think Edwards-Helaire should be the pick there. I really think that he should be going in that range, and I think Antonio Gibson should probably be going a little bit earlier too at the very start of that second round potentially, but I think Edwards-Helaire should be the next running back going after him if we're trying to see where the rankings go. So I think if you are looking to go running back at the back end of that first round, which I'm not probably looking to do, I think you could do a lot worse than Edwards-Helaire being that second guy. So that's going to do it for this edition of the show. As always, at the end, I like to let you know you can get that 10% discount to RotoViz NFL Pass. All you have to do is add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for further information. Two fun articles there, one from Sean, one from Sam Wallace. You can check them up on the site, of course. And if you use that RVRadio2021 code, you'll get yourself a 10% discount to gain access to all of the content and tools. Of course, those tools will be highly beneficial as you get ready for draft season if you aren't already drafting. But we're going to have another two shows coming your way as we progress through this week, so come back, check those out. Make sure you're subscribed to the individual RotoViz Overtime podcast feed. Drop us a written review on your favorite podcast app. We do appreciate those greatly. We will be reading some of those out on Saturday's show. So thank you to everyone who has dropped a review for us. Until we're back with another edition of the podcast, my name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel, who, as I mentioned, you can check out his great work up on rotoviz.com. And until we're back with another show, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.